Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. And you have your King James Bible. Let's read together in unison, shall we? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm going to talk to you about think on these things this morning. Amen. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for church. Thank you for a beautiful day you've given to us. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for safety. Dear Holy Spirit of God, now please meet with us. Bless. Lord, help us to pay attention. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to be a distraction. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. A few weeks ago, I preached a sermon, I can't remember the title of it right now, on your thinking is messed up, sort of. Your problem is you. The biggest problem in your life is your mouth. The biggest problem in your life is what you're spending time thinking about, what you're watching, and what you're listening, because what goes in is going to eventually come out. You know what's wrong with your computer? Exactly what you put into it. You know why your computer has problems? Because you did something to the computer, most likely. You downloaded a virus. You visited a site. You erased something. It's an ID 10. Did I do that right? Yes, an ID 10T problem. Spell out ID T. It's an ID 10T problem. If you write it out, it's I-D-I-O-T. It's an idiot problem. The problem we have in our lives, it's mostly, not all, mostly. And if I had to guess right now, put a guess number on it, 90% of the problems that we have in our life are because we are the problem. You're not thinking right. And you're not thinking on the right things. Your mind is somewhere where it should not be. This is why people's lives are messed up, because their thinking's messed up. They've made poor decisions in their lives because their minds are messed up and they're thinking about other things they have no business thinking about. God's very clear. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, sometimes things that are true are not nice. Do you hear what I just said? I mean, there's some not nice things going on in America this week. And if I were you, I would go get your pistol permit as soon as you possibly can. And the president was 100% correct that if there was somebody with a gun in that synagogue, he could have stopped some maniac. But they're not thinking right. You're not thinking right. You think the government's going to protect you. You think the Troy PD is going to protect you. You think the county sheriff is going to protect you. You think everybody else is going to protect you instead of what God says in the Bible for you to protect yourself and your loved ones. We are not thinking correctly in America. We don't want the truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus' truth. He is altogether lovely. We ought to be thinking about Jesus. You can't think about the good parts that you like and not think about the other parts that are hard or difficult that you don't like. He said, think on things that are true. And by the way, if I got this correctly, the minister of that synagogue just a while ago was railing against guns. 11 people in his congregation, or in that building at least, were killed yesterday because their thinking is not right. They don't want truth. Truth can be a very bitter pill to swallow sometimes, but you need to think about true things, ladies and gentlemen. Not just fanciful ideas. And it would be nice if there was no sin in the world. Not until Jesus comes. It'd be nice if there's no wars or battles or killings or murders or rapes. Not until Jesus comes. And you can have all the nice thoughts you want, but it ain't going to change until Jesus comes, ladies and gentlemen. Until that, he says, think on these things. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. You know, too many people are, I'm talking about God's people now, are too dishonest. They're too dishonest. They're not honest enough. And you know what? Most people don't want honesty. They don't like brutal honesty. They just want to lie and to exaggerate. They want to have hidden motives and hidden incentives of why they're doing things. And they, you know what? There's people still, you're still blaming somebody 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago for something that's going wrong in your life right now. You know the problem is? You. You're not thinking right. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be a stumbling block in your life, but instead of making them a stumbling block, why don't you make them a stepping stone? You and I are the problem. For me to sit here and criticize somebody 10, 20, 30 years ago who did me wrong, I'm the one that has bitterness. I'm the one who can't get over it. I'm the one who's not living a victorious Christian life. I'm the problem. But we want to blame our ex-husband, our ex-wife, you know, our mother-in-law, you know, the daughter-in-law. We want to blame the neighbor. We want to blame the president or the Congress or the mayor or the governor. We want to blame somebody, not obviously us. The problem is we're not thinking about these things that God says we ought to think about. What have you been thinking about this week? I'll tell you this much. If you've been smoking that cancer stick, and if you've been drinking that liquor and that wine and that strong drink and alcohol, and if you've been smoking those blunts and smoking eight balls and smoking your and sniffing your snorting your cocaine and shooting heroin, that's what you're thinking about. I said that's what you're thinking about, and that's why you're messed up. Why don't you think about Jesus this week? Why don't you think about souls this week? Why don't you think about church this week? Why don't you think about prayer this week? Why don't you think about reading your Bible this week? Because if you did those things, you think about these things. But if you're thinking about getting the big one or the Powerball, man, can you imagine, Pastor, if I won that money? Pastor, I'd give it. I give so much to the church. Okay. People are a bunch of liars, man. Your mind's in the gutter. Your mind's in rebellion. Your mind's in disobedience. It's not thinking on things that are lovely and pure and true. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Just. That's justice. We don't want justice today. You know what the Bible says? If you kill somebody, your life ought to be taken. Over and over and over again. But Americans don't want that. Look, you and I have friends and relatives. They act so innocent. Oh, I don't think you ought to kill anybody, but they let people get slaughtered like they're getting slaughtered today or last week. They're against guns, right? But they're against the death penalty also. Americans are schizophrenic, ladies and gentlemen. They want criminals to be able to go out and kill anybody, but don't kill the criminals. That I'll tell you what, you put the criminals, you put the murderers and the rapists to death, that'll stop the recidivism rate pretty good. I don't think they'll come out soon. Next time they'll come out is at the Great White Throne Judgment. But they come out. But we don't think about things that are just or true. Here's what we want. We want to change. By the way, this is why people are changing the Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, listen to me good, you don't know what is true. And you don't know what is just. The devil wants you thinking on a perversion. When's the last time you ever heard any pastor, minister, preacher hold up a New King James Bible and say, thank God I got a New King James Bible? When's the last time you said somebody stood up in a pulpit and said, man, the NIV is the word of God? You never hear that because they know it's not true. They know it's not just. The New English Bibles are a bunch of perversions. That's why the King James Bible is hated, ladies and gentlemen. Your job, my job, is to think on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. He is altogether lovely. How about thinking about Jesus week, amen? Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Hey, what have you been thinking about this week? Huh? How bad you got it? How tough life is? Huh? What have you been thinking about? I'll tell you this much. You're thinking about what you're listening to on the radio or watching on the television. You're thinking about things that you were doing this week. I said Wednesday night, I said, you know, we have this mantra now in our society that parents say to their children, as long as you're happy, I don't care what it is. Whatever you want to do is fine. I just want you to be happy. That's all I want. That's what they say for sodomites, so they come out of the closet, you know. As long as you're happy, that's what counts. Okay, so if you tell your parents, Mom, I want to be a thief or a rapist or a murderer, would your parents say, as long as you're happy? I want to be a pedophile when I grow up. As long as you're happy. I want to be a drunk or a druggie. I want to rebel against God. I want to burn churches down. As long as you're happy. I mean, can you understand how stupid that is? But that's what parents have been taught today. To tell their children, as long as you're happy. Or if you want to be a thief, that's your business. You want to steal for the rest of your life? Okay, hon, I understand. As long as you're happy. How about things that are just and things that are right? How about things that are true, things that are honest? Tells you how stupid we are, how deceived and gullible we are. But people complain, they're miserable. They're envious and jealous at others. They hate others. They're bitter. They're more concerned about their own self and their ego and false gods and their false religion. There's people spending more time on their Halloween decorations this week than anything else. Hey, all right, let me ask a question. He said, Pastor, why? What happened this week in America? And all these people, they're going bonkers and explosive devices and killing each other. Well, you don't think that what goes in comes out? You teach your kids gore? Huh? Yeah, you teach your kids about blood and guts and vampires and cannibalism and let them watch Hollywood movies and videos and zombies and dragons and gargoyles and ninja and Disney Beauty and the Beast and E.T. and head skulls and Dungeons and Dragons and devil satanic serpents and children. Why do children have nightmares, Pastor? Well, I wonder what they're reading. I wonder what they're watching, Dad and Mom. I wonder why they can't go to sleep. And that little boy and girl is going to become a teenager one day, and that little boy and girl is going to be in their 20s and 30s one day, and they're going to be disappointed, disgruntled. They're going to take it out on somebody because they weren't thinking about something that was lovely and pure and just and honest. That's why. So you teach your kids, you know, to like haunted houses and ghoulish things and Satan claws and tooth fairies and Easter bunnies and fairy godmothers and Mother Nature. Pastor, why is there murder? So many people getting killed and suicide rate is off the charts. And why are people raping people? Why are there so many sodomites and pedophilia and bestiality? Well, you send your kids to a school that teaches them it's okay. I wonder why. If you're teaching your kids when they're 5, 10, 15 years old that it's okay, why are you shocked when they're 20 or 30, they're killing and raping people? My Bible says, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Hey, adult, when's the last time you thought on the Word of God? When's the last time you just thought about how great it is to be saved? I mean, what in the world is so wrong in your life that you can't enjoy the fact that you're a child of God on your way to heaven? I asked you the question, what in the world, if your mother-in-law moved in, if the doctor said you got cancer, if they said today was your last day, what in the world can make you so miserable that you can't be glad that you're a child of God saved from hell on your way to heaven? I asked you the question, your thinking is messed up. You're thinking about this world too much. You're thinking about the things on this earth. That's why you're messed up. That's why you're complaining all the time. So you teach your kids about the tooth fairy and the Easter bunny, Mother Nature. You'll find out what happens when they're being in their 20s and 30s. Yeah, you're thinking too much about all your expenses and your bills and your health problems. You're thinking too much about your hospital and doctor visits. You're thinking too much about funerals that you've attended. Your mind's on your cars and your vehicles too much, and how much taxes you have to pay. Your mind's too much on your house and your property. Yeah, when your children disobey you, or children break your heart, or when you got to bury one of your children or one of your grandchildren, you have heartaches and burdens and trials and troubles and tribulations. You're thinking about wars and fightings, rumors of wars. Yeah, you're thinking about the wrong things, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying those things aren't going to come into your mind because you listen to the news. I understand that. But the majority of the time ought to be spent thinking about Jesus. The majority of your time ought to be thanking God about salvation. The majority of your time ought to be thanking God that you're a child of God. The majority of your time ought to be thanking God, what can I do to help somebody else get somebody else saved? But our mind is on things that don't profit. They're on vain. They're on vanity, on vain things. Your mind's in drug court. How the drug court's going to help you? You sit there in that drug court, and they thank the drug court team, and they thank the judge, and they thank the clerk, and they thank the personnel, and they thank the counselors, and they thank the groups. Yeah. And by the way, the reason there's such a big recidivism rate is because all they do is talk about their drugs. The reason there's such a big recidivism rate, they go back to their drink, is because all they do is talk about their drinking. How about talk about Jesus? Oh, there was a song we used to sing, you know, let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity, the great I am, the way. I can't remember the rest. I probably messed it up. The truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. When's the last time you talked about Jesus? I mean, outside of church. Amen. When's the last time you just talked about Jesus? Are you just ashamed or embarrassed to talk about Jesus? What are you thinking about? If you're thinking about Jesus, you'll share Jesus. If you're thinking about heaven, you'll share heaven. If you're thinking about salvation, you'll tell other people about salvation. But it's obvious you're not thinking about it because you're not doing it. Your mind's in the gutter. You're thinking about something else. You're thinking about what the Bible calls perverse things. You're thinking about what the Bible calls abominable things. You're thinking about what the Bible calls detestable things. He says, think on these things. You're thinking about evil things and wicked things, the Bible says. How about these things? Look, I know we got to deal with life. I'm not saying you got to live in a bubble. I know that. I listen to news like you do too. But blessed be God, there ain't nobody, there's nothing on planet Earth that's ever going to get me down. Absolutely nothing and absolutely no one. I don't care what their name is. I don't care what their degrees are. I don't care World War III breaks out. I'm a child of God on my way to heaven when I die, ladies and glory be to God. Amen. If there's 200 people in church or two people in church, glory be to God. I'm a child of God on my way to heaven. Amen. People like my preaching. They don't like my preaching. Glory to God. I'm a child of God on my way to heaven. Amen. If I'm going to die today or die 10, 20 years later, glory to God, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Amen. The problem is you're thinking about the wrong things. Amen. You're thinking about how bad everything is. It's all written all over you. Then you want to blame somebody else. Yeah. You're thinking about how the government can help you. You're thinking about how the mandated programs, they'll help you. The treatment court will help. It'll help. Yeah, you're thinking about the wrong. You're thinking about sinners and vanity. How about thinking about Jesus? How about thinking about soul winning? How about thinking about visitation, prayer meeting, fasting? How bad? That's a foreign word to us, isn't it? The word fasting is in the Bible, you know. Did you ever think about it? How about doing good works? How about loyalty? You ever think about loyalty? You ever think about friendship and love? Bible love. Not worldly love, but Bible love. Charity. Compassion. Do you ever think about joy? Do you ever think about forgiveness, forgiving others, and how much you've been forgiven? Have you ever thought about how merciful God is? And do you think about reconciliation with others and with God? Do you think that you could try to restore other people back to God? Or do you want to step on them when they're down? What are you thinking about? Are you humble? Or are you thinking about how good you are? How much money you've got? What kind of good job you have? What kind of good house you have? What kind of nice car you drive? Do you think about how kind you ought to be? How gracious you ought to be? Are you long-suffering? Can you endure? Or you just do you think about quitting? Hey, you know why people commit suicide? Because they're thinking about it. You know why people kill somebody? Because they're thinking about it. You know why somebody rapes somebody? Because they're thinking about it. It's going to come out whether you want it or not. Ecclesiastes 5, verse number 3, the Bible says, a dream cometh through the multitude of business. Let me repeat that. A dream cometh through the multitude of business. Not a corporation business or a company that somebody owns. Business like going through life, the busyness of life, you know, the interactions you deal with. You know, look, everybody ought to admit dreams are really weird, aren't they? I mean, there's no way else you can put it. They're strange. They're weird because you have no control over it. But whatever goes into your mind through your sight and eyes and ears and smell and experiences all get jumbled up together and it comes out weird in a dream, doesn't it? You have no control over it. But you're thinking about the weirdest things and the weirdest interactions in a dream. So, wow, how did that happen? Man, that was weird. They're the weirdest thing I ever dreamed. How did it happen? You had no control over it, but it happened because of the busyness of your life, how you intersected with people or events or things that happened in life. You have no control over it, but that's what you're thinking about. Well, the same thing is true when you're awake and conscious, ladies and gentlemen. A dream coming through the multitude of business. Your interaction with people in life is business. So you should not stick your nose in someone else's business. Your life is your business. Theirs is their business. Your business causes you to have dreams and other thoughts. What you hear and what you see affects your mind and your heart. It affects your soul. It affects your relationship with God. Everything impacts you, whether you think so or not. Even subliminal messages have been proven. False advertising and fake news affects every single person. Books and advertisements and commercials and gossip and television and radio and Facebook and Twitter and social media, newspapers, everything. It affects everybody. People don't even know what a newspaper is today. But newspapers and magazines, online dialogues and chat rooms and workplace conversation and dinner table conversation, society in itself, the perversion in society, the fads and the fashion of a people that you pass by and work with and mingle with, the music of a nation that people are listening to, the wealth or poverty of a neighborhood or a city or a state or a nation, much, much more affect you than you think it does. That's why you got to spend time with the Word of God and take a shower in the King James Bible once a day and rub and wash all that filth and all that perversion from the world off. The schooling affects you. The government affects you. The family affects you. The religion affects you. The area you grew up in affects you. Your relatives. When you hear something, when you think about it, it's going to affect you. They all affect you more than you think it does. So that's why it's important for you to think right. And what you're thinking about. You think the glass is half full instead of being half empty instead of being half full. You think your life is over instead of the best part is yet to come. You live a defeatist, giving up life. It's all over. Blessed be God, man. I'm ready to do anything I can for God right now, man. I'm ready because I'm ready to go home. Amen. And there, I'm telling you, there's just nothing I'm not willing to do right now for Jesus Christ if it's right and if it's in the Bible. I don't know how long I got to live, whether it's one day, one week, one year, 10 years, 20 years, have no idea. But I want to do whatever I can for Jesus while I'm alive. It does not mean that everything will turn out the way I want them to turn out or the way you want it to turn out. But if you think on these things, then you will want what God wants. If you think these things. And if you want what God wants, you'll be content with what God gives you for your will and your God's will in your life. But you don't like God's will in your life, so you're rebuffing God. You're arguing with God. You're miserable with God. You're angry at God. God, why'd you give me this husband? Why'd you give me this wife? Why'd you give me these children? Why'd you give me these parents? Why'd you give me this preacher? Because you need this preaching. You need this kind of preaching to wake you up. Somebody needs to shake you up and wake you up. Because it's your thinking that's messed up. Look, I didn't grow up in a Bible-believing home. And you know what I had to do? I had to discard some things that I thought were normal in my life growing up. I thought they were okay, but they're not. And thank God for a good mother. I'm just saying. But I'm telling you, if it contradicts the Word of God, go with the Word of God. Think on these things. Think on these things. If you think on these things, then you will be content with what God's will is in your life. Then you will be able to deal with life and handle life. You'll be able to handle life victoriously as a child of God with triumph. Not a defeatist attitude, not depressed, not discouraged, not sad. Maybe heartbroken, but triumphant. Maybe rejected by the world, but blessed by God. Maybe ridiculed by others, but well-pleasing in God's sight. That's what you ought to want. If you don't want people to criticize you, don't live for God. If you don't want people to hate you, don't live for God. If you don't want people to mock you, don't read the Word of God, don't obey God. But if you want what's pleasing in God's eyes, then think on these things. 2 Peter chapter number 1, please. 2 Peter chapter number 1. What are you thinking about? I mean, there's people, the Bible says, in the midst of the congregation, I was in almost all evil. There's some people daydreaming while the preaching and the singing is going on. You can't even sing the gospel songs when all the people are singing. Is life so difficult in America where you can't even praise God when we have a songbook open? I mean, whose fault is that? I mean, aren't you in love with Jesus Christ? Why can't you just bellow it out with the loudest of your voice? I don't understand it. 2 Peter chapter number 1. You can yell at your kids real loud. I've seen that. I've heard that. You can yell at your wife. I've seen that. I've heard that. You can yell at your husband. I've seen that. You can yell at your neighbor. You yell at everybody else. But we can't sing praise of God. Amen. Something wrong with your thinking is what's wrong. Like I said, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, you're going the wrong direction. You're changing away from God instead of going towards God. Remember when you got saved? Amen. Weren't you glad you got saved? Life was messed up. Maybe you were in jail or prison. One step from death. Contemplating suicide or a criminal life. And you got saved. And you were thrilled. Well, what happened to that? You were thrilled. You were happy. Didn't matter. All the problems that you had, wife gone, husband gone, messed up life, kids gone, kids ruined, but you were thrilled that you got saved. What happened at that time? You stopped thinking about how good God is. You stopped thinking about how good salvation is. You stopped thinking about how merciful Jesus is. You stopped thinking about how gracious our God is. And now, you know, you're so concerned about what's going on in this country. Yeah. You're so worried, like Martha, Martha. You're cumbered about too many things, Martha. You're so consumed with worrying instead of praising God and loving God. I know things need to be get done. I know that. I know things need to be fixed. I know things need to be righted. I understand that. There's a way. There's things that are true, things that are just. We need to take care of some things. Shore up things that are wanting. I understand that. But you can smile. You can sing. You can have a good attitude. You can love people and you can love God. The Christian martyrs were being burned at the stake, fed to the lions, and they were singing praises to God. Thrown to the lions in the Colosseum. Burning at the stake, they were singing. But your life is just so miserable, isn't it? That you're just so depressed and so dejected because you're not thinking things that God wants you to think about. What are you thinking about? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Do you ever think about godliness or holiness or righteousness? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I mean, this King James Bible is full of great and precious promises. If you have an English book that's not a King James Bible, it is not the Word of God. I don't care if a minister's lying to you. He's a fake, phony, and fraud. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Faith's the foundation of our salvation, amen? Add to your faith virtue. And virtue is the, if you check this up in the Webster's Dictionary, it's the ability to change somebody else. Do you want somebody to be as miserable as you are? Do you want somebody to be as depressed as you are? Do you want somebody to be as discouraged as you are? Do you want somebody to be as dejected and down and out and giving up and defeated as you are? My God rose from the dead, ladies and gentlemen. He came victorious out of that tomb. He conquered death and hell. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Go. This is going the right direction, as we said a week or two ago. And to knowledge, these are things that you ought to add. Add to your faith virtue, then knowledge, and temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity is love in action. Charity, you know, the other perversions, they change the word charity to love. But you can love somebody without charity. You can love somebody in your heart. And that's love. But charity is love in action. There's a big difference between love and charity. You can love people from a distance, but charity is proving your love by helping them physically. Watch this now, verse number 8. For if these things be in you, these things. Oh, I thought we just read that. Think on these things. These things. So if you're progressing the right direction, you're thinking about the right things. Things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And Peter writes, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, which one of these things are you lacking? He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wow, can you imagine it? Can you imagine somebody not knowing, not remembering if they got saved or not? That's what the Bible says. Yeah, stay out of church for a couple of years, you'll see what happens to you. Stop reading your Bible for 6 months, 2 years, 3 years, you'll see what happens to you. I'd rather believe what God says instead of what some minister or pastor says. Oh, no, a person who's saved can never lose their memory of being saved because it's the greatest thing in the world. I led my next-door neighbor to the Lord at my dining room table. 5-10 years later, he died. Before he died, he had Alzheimer's. Didn't even remember my name at that point. Didn't even remember getting saved. Are you going to tell me that God's lying? That because he doesn't remember him getting saved, that he wasn't saved? I'd rather believe God than a liar. I'd rather believe God than a sinner. Amen. But you go ahead, stop reading the Bible, and your thinking is going to be like the world too. You go ahead, stop reading this book, and keep your eyes and your face in the television and social media. Keep watching and listening to what the news says and what the world says. And you're going to be just like them too. And then we're going to say, wow, do you hear what happened to so-and-so? What happened? They weren't thinking on these things. Hey, what are you thinking about this week? Huh? How you can steal something and hawk it and go to the pawn shop, get a fix? Hey, what are you thinking about? That Powerball? Because the love of money is the root of all evil? Because if you had enough money, man, Pastor, if I had that money, man, you know what I would do with my life? You're thinking about the wrong things. You know what the Bible says? Think on these things. Because if you think on these things, it says, he shall not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be growing. You'll be going the right direction. You'll be reading more Bible now than you did a year or two ago. You'll be handing out more gospel tracts now than you did a year or two ago. You'll be memorizing more Bible scriptures now than you did 2 or 3 years ago. Amen. You'll be in church more than you were 2, 3, 4 years ago. You'll go soul winning more now than you did 5 years ago. What are you thinking about? That's exactly what's going to come out. Let's all stand. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for being such a wonderful God, for being merciful, forgiving, and patient. Like all of us, dear God, I at times have not been thinking the right things and too focused on the news and the world. It can be very depressing if you let it. Very discouraging if you let it. But I want to thank you, dear God, for salvation. I want to thank you for a King James Bible. I want to thank you, Lord, for church. I want to thank you, dear God, that you have allowed us to think these things that are right, pure, and holy. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to right our lives and right our thinking and right our minds and right our hearts and right our relationships. And I pray, dear God, there's nothing in any life that cannot be straightened out if we just change our thinking. There's nothing that's so wrong and so bad that would change if we didn't start thinking right. All we had to do is start thinking right and think on things as outlined in the Word of God. Lord, it's only by your mercy that we're alive here today. It's only by your grace that we're in church this morning, because we'd be of all men more miserable, dear God, without the resurrection, without salvation, without our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd be as sinful and wicked and evil as everyone else that we read about in the newspapers and in television sets this last week and the weeks before and the months before. It's only by your mercy that we're breathing. Help us, dear God, to think right and to do something for thee before we take our last breath. Thank you again for loving us. Bless, I pray, this invitation. I pray if anybody is not saved, may they think their way to salvation today. If they're saved, they've not been baptized in a Baptist church, I pray they'll get baptized this morning. Help them to think right. Whatever else the need is, dear God, you meet it, please. Dear Holy Spirit of God, speak to their hearts. Write the needs. Help them to think clearly and correctly and right. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.